Welcome to the CyberQ podcast. Today's episode is part of our Cyber Unlocked series, where we explore how different parts of the insurance industry approach cyber risk. I'm your host, Rhianna Mistry, content specialist at CyberCube, and today we'll be discussing how artificial intelligence and analytics are transforming cyber underwriting. I'm joined by two guests for this conversation, Ross Ware, Head of Strategic Tech Ecosystem at CyberCube, and Jane Tran, CEO and co-founder of Sixfold, an AI platform helping underwriters make faster, smarter decisions. CyberCube and Sixfold have partnered to streamline the underwriting workflow by providing more accurate cyber risk insights. But we'll dive more into that during the episode. Thank you both for joining me. Let's kick off with introductions. Ross, could you start?
Hi, I'm Ross Worth. I'm the head of strategic tech ecosystem here at CyberCube. I look after the partnerships across our tech platform partners, really seeking to enable our mutual clients to get access to CyberCube analytics when and where they need them.
Hi, I'm Jane Tran, CEO, co-founder of Sixfold. We're an AI solution for insurance underwriting. We focus primarily in commercial property and casualty and also in the life and disability space. But our whole mantra is to help underwriters make better decisions.
Great. Thank you. Well, before we deep dive into the conversation today, Ross, could I throw it over to you just to talk a bit about CyberCube and Sixfold's collaboration and what kind of things we're offering underwriters?
Yeah, so Sixfold is one of our partners on the underwriting side of the house, which is a really exciting partnership that we launched last year in 2024, really to enable mutual clients to access CyberCube analytics around underwriting. So scores, signals, financial models that underwriters use in their process to help automate what that risk profile looks like, you know, where they might attach, what the impacts of a given risk are to their overall portfolio book of business. Partnering with Sixfold is really helping our clients to streamline some of those capabilities so that they're minimizing the number of systems that they have to deal with on a day-to-day basis to get through that underwriting process. I've never met an underwriter who has asked for another application in their workflow, desperately begging to have fewer on a day-to-day basis. So partnering with Sixfold really enables that capability. Jane, what are your thoughts kind of about our partnership and why engaging between our mutual clients is beneficial?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is building off what you said. So the way that cyber underwriting is maturing in the market right now is that sometimes your guidelines and your submissions are not enough, right? We need really strong external control data in order to get a comprehensive view of any risk. So partnering with CyberCube, I think, is integral to the way that we're thinking about the cyber market to enable underwriters to get more information at their fingertips.
And do you think now is a pivotal time for cyber underwriting innovation? How have you seen it evolve in recent years?
I'll sort of say that even in the last few years, even probably a little bit before that, I think cyber underwriting used to be considered sort of more specialty. And to a certain extent it is, right? Because it is highly complex, but it is becoming more and more common. Meaning, I think a lot of companies realize how important it is to get cyber insurance. And to also just protect themselves from different cyber threats, just given the amount of threats within the market. And so oftentimes when you chat with any CISO for any Fortune 500 company or even beyond that, it's not really a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And so the more sophisticated, I think, companies think about their cyber posture, the better I think they are in terms of preventing anything from happening, but also protecting their customer data and their company from any potential threat in the market.
Yeah, I think that's very true, Jane. I think too, and I'm sure we'll talk a bit more about kind of soft versus hard cycles in the market and those types of things. But I think a lot of drive in that space on the cyber side as we've had a bit of a softening really for probably the softest market cyber has experienced over the last couple of years. But I think it's an opportunity where folks are looking for how do they look across those different risks as underwriters in this soft market? How do I get the best coverage back to folks at the fastest speed possible? How do I, you know, really streamline that decision, but balance the right risk, right? I don't want to get a whole bunch of adverse selection and end up with a bunch of stuff that I don't want on my book and have to deal with in a year or two. How do I balance that capability? And really, what's the way to automate that and really bring some more of the science to the art that is underwriting, you know, in specifically the cyber line of business, as we've seen in other lines over the years.
So Ross, if I could get you to expand on that a bit more, given the dynamic market, what's the biggest challenge you see underwriters facing right now? And how are they thinking about analytics in response to that?
Ooh, I'm not an underwriter, but I play one in meetings and podcasts on occasion. So I do think, you know, in a softer market, it's all about getting a speed of quote back to that broker and back to the insured, right? In the softer market, there are bunches of options that the insured has to go with. So as an underwriter, I'm looking at what's the right balance of the right coverage, the right price, and really kind of the right structure of those terms and conditions to get that deal to me. So how can I take analytics such as what the CyberCube account manager product is putting out in terms of what the average annual expected loss might look like if I choose to write this risk, what that looks like, how that impacts the terms and conditions of my policy, the attachment points, the SIRs, self-insured retentions, those types of structures of the policy, and then combining that with the signals that I can see and observe about the company in terms of both their security posture, of the things that they're doing to minimize their risk of cyber incidents, as well as their exposure, which is kind of what's the inherent risk based on their industry, based on their size of organization, that type of thing, which dovetails really well into the AI that Sixfold is using kind of across the board there. You know, Jane, maybe you can talk a little bit about how you've seen clients pick that up and leverage, you know, some of those core AI capabilities and how, you know, the cyber analytics fit into the other tools and other data sources that clients are using.
Yeah, so the way that Sixfold fits in, actually regardless of the market, is really helping underwriters to be more efficient, right? How can we sort of reduce a lot of the noise that they see, you know, when they get a broker submission in and they can do a lot of research and really match it to the risk appetite that they really care about. So in this vein, we're basically helping underwriters get to more business faster. Because also in a soft market, what you want to do is spend more time with your brokers to sort of get better placement and pipelines are coming in. So how do we sort of give them back that time by giving them all the risk insights, all the things that they truly care about at their fingertips so they can make a quick decision and move on? Or maybe spend a lot of time on the pricing and packaging of a risk, you know, for that end customer. And so regardless of the market, I think we sort of slide into how to make that underwriter much more efficient so they can basically underwrite more business. And we see that in a soft market or not in a soft market, it doesn't really make much of a difference to us.
So both of you have talked about the beneficial outcomes that CyberCube and Sixfold provide, things like streamlining processes, efficiency, being able to tailor the analytics to the insurer's risk appetite. So very similar things. Jane, have you come across any surprising ways people are using the tools, like unexpected benefits or use cases you didn't see coming?
I'll say this. When we first started Sixfold, we were very focused on the controls, and we still are. Like, it's a core part of what we've built out. But I think as we matured our product and also our partnership with CyberCube and a few other things, we realized that the controls are sort of baseline, right? And I'm sure that the Ross will sort of say the same. Like, the core of what we bring is helping the underwriter to get the facts. The next step up is really more about the art of underwriting. And all of that is things like, how do I think about my broker selection, right? Oftentimes, a lot of our customers now are adding more market intelligence, I would say, into our platform to help them make that underwriting decision. Because sometimes, like, yes, we know whether or not a risk is good or bad, but we also know as part of the way that we underwrite, part of it is also an art, right? Like thinking about those relationships, those nuances of the market. So as of late, we've been seeing a lot more of our underwriters and our customers adding things like broker preferences, like nuances around limits within the market, sort of all those other things that help them make a decision, especially as the market is changing, right? So like for some of these geographies that we're supporting, we also see a lot of changes within the appetite. So it's like, how do we sort of be nimble to sort of react to those market forces, even above and outside of those controls and those guidelines?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And as we've thought about our single risk tool account manager, which is what's primarily, you know, our joint clients are using together here, is we've looked at both sides of that coin, if you will, in terms of both the specific signals that an underwriter can observe or we can observe on their behalf about a company, like I talked about, what's their exposure to cyber risk in general. The mom and pop flower shop on the corner has a very different exposure to a global hotel chain, for instance, right? And so that's typically inherently just kind of part of the nature of where, how much, and what type of business they're doing. It's not something they're probably going to change, right? A hospital is a lot more likely to have a cyber attack than that flower shop. But to reduce your risk of an attack, you're not going to stop hiring doctors and stop being a hospital and turn into a flower shop at the end of the day. What you can control is the security perspective of that. And so that's why we have specific signals and scores around security and what are folks doing proactively, and in some cases reactively, to help reduce, minimize, eliminate those security risks that are out there on that account. And that type of information feeds in through that partnership into the Sixfold platform so that the underwriters have that. And then that's compared to, you know, what's your risk appetite? As Jane was talking about, what's the relationship with given brokers that are out there and the specific types of coverage that they have access to, what's most relevant to that market that the specific broker is bringing you, and really being able to tailor based on the level of data and granularity that's there. There's a lot of, you know, art of the possibles is what I used to say in a prior life around how this data can be used to not make decisions on the underwriter's behalf, but provide the information so that the underwriter can make that very informed decision, right? Taking the science side of here's all the things and here's what all the numbers and here's what all the straight out of the box kind of appetite says. Now let's apply the arc of that based on the relationship that you have with the broker, what you know about this account from the X number of years that you've been on this account, or what you know about why the broker is shopping this account today, really pulling all that information together and servicing the relevant information at the point of decision. I think that's what's super critical for the underwriters today, well, and every day, given they never have enough time, right?
Building on that, Ross, would you say there's a way to measure success from adopting tools like this? Or is there a kind of return on investment that you've been able to see?
Yeah, I think there's several KPIs or key performance indicators, you know, that we see different underwriting organizations looking at. And Jane, I'll let you weigh in on what's similar and different as you're talking directly to clients, of course. You know, I think that one of the keys is, as we've mentioned, is efficiency. So it's the number of accounts and being able to get through that list of accounts or things that are sitting in your inbox as an underwriter, eliminating some of those kind of admin tasks or reducing the load on the underwriter or the underwriter assistant type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that really varies a lot depending on what type of business, right? On an SMB or small, medium business side of the scale, that needs to be very fast, mostly automated in some cases, you know, to just kind of get through the volume that it makes sense to make any money. On the large enterprise, Fortune 500, Fortune 100 side, those activities are going to take a lot longer and there's a lot more back and forth. But being able to review and come up with the response in the appropriate times in that. So I think there's efficiency, you know, as a primary in terms of how many of these things can you get through. And then, of course, the other one is, you know, underwriting profit at the end of the day, right? How well are you underwriting as an organization? And is that in line? Now, what that line looks like is going to vary from organization to organization and all those types of things. But is that in alignment? And is that improving the overall underwriting profitability? Are you writing the right risk at the right price type of thing? Jane, how does that align to what you guys see from your clients as KPIs?
It's 100% aligned. Look, at the end of the day, an underwriter is expected to do two very different things in one job. The one thing is protecting the risk profile, you know, sort of the risk posture of their line of business, right? So like that in a way is one end. But on the other end, they're also supposed to bring in more business. And so like that nuance of that role of being an underwriter, I think it's so interesting, right? Because like you have to balance the two, but you know you have to do one, but you know you also have to do the other in equal terms. And so how do you get the right tool sets to then optimize both of those so that in a way everyone wins, right? So you're writing good risk, but you're writing a lot more of that good risk. And the pie is so finite, right? But there is a lot of stuff that's coming in, especially in the world of cyber, as you guys were mentioning, like oftentimes a lot of our cyber customers, they're not getting to all of the risks that are coming in. And even sometimes if it's a bad risk, you can make a bad risk into a good risk if you find the right price, if you put the right exclusions, sort of all those types of things. But we're not getting to all of the demand that's coming to you there. So how do we sort of put together the right data sets, the right tool sets, the right everything so that our underwriters can sort of meet the demand that's in the market?
Yeah, I think you bring a really good point there, Jane, around the kind of making a bad risk a good risk, right? Like pricing, where in the terms and conditions. Another couple of flavors of that I've seen at different carriers is does different strategies for different lines of business, right? At the end of the day, as I look across the needs of a complex insured, right? They're going to have different needs across different lines of business. And there may be different targets and objectives of what makes a good risk, you know, or a good price on different lines of businesses. So having that information at your fingertips, looking across those lines of business is critical for the underwriters. They look across across the account. And I think, as you touched on earlier too, is especially in cyber. Cyber is, as I think most folks know, you know, the fastest growing line of business in this space for many years, but it's still the most underpenetrated line of business in this space, especially as you get out of the Fortune 100, Fortune 500 companies. Even those companies have actually had some really interesting discussions around the structure of the policies that they have today. Yes, they have a bunch of cover, but are there things that they should be considering about their attachment points, their SIRs, their deductibles, those types of things? And again, having this information enables the underwriter to be that advisor to make sure that they understand the cover that they're purchasing or the other options that are out there for them in the marketplace.
And as the cyber market evolves and cyber penetration increases, how do we see technologies like CyberCube and Sixfold and the use of AI, really, how do we see those develop over the coming years? Where do you guys see changes happening?
I think a lot of it is meeting where the customers are, right? So Ross mentioned this a little bit earlier, right? Like, you know, a Fortune 500 company is very different than a mom and pop shop. You probably still need some level of coverage, but you also need some level of technology as associated with it, right? And so you'll see a lot more, I would say, solutions that are tailored to an SMB versus a large market customer. But it's also knowing where that scale is, right? Not everyone needs, you know, the Cadillac coverage of everything, but it does mean that there is some sort of baseline, right? So what is the, not the minimum, but what's the baseline that we can provide from a technology, from a controls, from a data perspective to your SMB, all the way to, you know, your Fortune 100 company. So I think you'll see a lot more customization, a lot more segmentation of tool sets of data, you know, to serve every single piece of that market, not even just from the business itself, but I would say even from the people that provide coverage, right? I think we're seeing more and more now that there are early upstart MGAs that are providing technology to their customers because in their mind, that's the minimum, right? So you'll see it on both ends of the spectrum because I think this market is quite complex. I think the technology is complex, but it doesn't have to be. So you'll see a lot more of that simplification of also some of the simplification with like air quotes, because again, it's not simple, but making it a lot more accessible for the market.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Jane. And I think along with that is standardization, especially in the States, right? Most of the cyber cover that's out there is non-admitted and into the E&S space. I think we'll see, especially as you move down market, some more standardization of what that cover starts to look like, probably some more adoption of the admitted coverages and those types of things that'll allow the insurers to understand more easily. We spend a lot of time, and our broker clients spend a lot of time with insureds educating them on, you know, what cyber is, what it covers, what it doesn't cover, what their existing crime policies do and don't cover, you know, and therefore why they need a cyber policy to cover some of that crime that they think may be covered under a crime policy, but isn't because it's electronic crime and those types of things. So I think there's a lot of education there. I think that ties back to your comment, Jane, of meeting folks where they're at. I think another area that we're seeing in that space as things continue to grow is our, you know, everyone's favorite is AI and where and how AI fits into that space and really what are the workflows, what are the use cases, how are the insureds and the underwriters going through this process? We know insurance is a challenging and complex process. So how do we continue to align to where folks are at as opposed to where we might want them to be, right? I think is one of the learnings and areas of focus as we continue to iterate on, you know, feedback from our client and the market in general. What are the things to incorporate into the process, the procedures and the applications? Is where our clients at today? What's the pain point that they're experiencing today? How can we help them through that pain point? And then over time, kind of step them up to, you know, a more advanced use case as they and the market continue to mature.
And to build upon that too, I guess the use of AI, because it's, I know it's a hot topic and we're an AI company, so it's all wrapped into one. But I think at the end of the day, it's actually less about the AI and actually more about the problem that we're solving, right? So you can solve an underwriting problem with or without AI. We happen to just do it with AI. And we think that this market will mature to a point where you don't even realize that you are using something like AI. We're just solving the problem for you. And so it's less about the flashy tool. It's actually much more about the outcome that you're going to receive from it. So for us, it's really, again, meeting where the customers are and really addressing the needs that they feel within the cyber market. And we happen to be an AI solution and we'll sort of give them that solution in that way. But candidly, it doesn't matter, right? Like the tool set may change in the future. Right now it's AI, But the big part that they really care about is, am I getting the right outcome that I want? Am I getting the right coverage? Am I happy using the things, the tools that I've been given, right? So I think those are the more key factors in terms of that I think they see when they're sort of assessing a solution.
Yeah, 100%, right? Like, what's the problem I have as a user? And does the tool help me get it done faster and more efficiently at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. So, if there's one thing that you'd want listeners to take away from this conversation, what would it be? Ross, could you start?
This discussion to me is all about getting you the right data at the time of decision, right? That's why we've partnered with Sixfold. That's why it was such an exciting partnership for us to start talking about, of is looking at the tools that they're using to explore what are the products, what are the guidelines and things that underwriters are looking at, and then combining the CyberCube analytics data that say, what's the security posture, what's the exposure that a specific insured has, aligning that and kind of mashing that up to those guidelines that Sixfold has on their platform, and then in parallel starting to pull in that unique quantification data that CyberCube has in terms of saying, hey, underwriter, here's what you can expect in an average year in terms of loss on this account as you're on that, and looking at that in the context of what's the appropriate price, pricing, attachment point, deal structure, those types of things. How does this fit within your broader book of business? It's all about right data at the time of decision.
And Jane?
Yeah, I think on my end, everything that Ross said, but also that with how this market is evolving, I think underwriters should know that the way in which they solve a problem may be different from the way they solved a problem before. Meaning, like, technology has advanced because of AI, that sometimes when you think that, you need to clean up all of your data before you can use it, you have to digitize everything, before you can make a decision. I think all of that sort of flipped on its head. And I think the sort of the reason why I'm excited about our partnership is because we're bringing that data to you so you can make a decision, and probably a earlier and a different time than I think what underwriters are used to. And I think just continue to challenge us to say, like, hey, like, do I have to do things this way? Like, why can't I just, make a decision at the point of email? Like, there's like things like that that I think that the market is sort of moving to that I think is super interesting. And I think cyber is a great place to sort of start with it because I think most cyber underwriters are also a lot more technologically aware. They see the power of AI. They also see how AI can be a little scary. But with that, I do think that they also see that like this really fundamentally changes the way that we work. And so if that is true, what else can I sort of change about, the way that these processes are made and how can we think about what that looks like in the future, because it may look very, very different than how things are today.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good point, Jane. Sorry to build on it, as Rihanna is saying, Ross, I asked for one thing, but I think it's a really powerful point as you reference, right? We've heard for years in cyber that, hey, there's not enough historical data here to be able to figure out and predict these types of things. We haven't had a Hurricane Andrew, knock wood, in cyber. That's a good thing, by the way, market, but it doesn't mean it can't happen, right? And so there's tons of data. And I think, ironically, in the cyber line of business, and in some cases, depending on what data you're pulling into your platforms, there's more data for a cyber risk than there is for any other line of business, right? And so, how, as an underwriter, do you look at that data and make a decision? And so that's kind of what I'm getting at when I'm talking about right tools, right time. And I think, Jane, to your point, that's really about how do we pull this stuff up and aggregate this so you can make those right decisions based on the data that's here and have more data really used in that decision, I think, than ever before, right? At any other point in underwriting. It's actually really exciting for such a fast-moving and change-averse industry, shall we say?
Thank you for listening to the CyberCube podcast, where we break down cyber risk, insurance, and everything in between. If you enjoyed today's conversation, make sure to subscribe on your preferred listening platform and tune in for the next episode. And don't forget to check out www.cybercube.com or find us on LinkedIn or X for extra content and updates. Until next time, stay informed, stay resilient, and keep shaping the future of cyber insurance.